Samatthatan Simunya, I'm Alan Hallowell, and this is Season 4, Episode 7 of Indotechno. Now, Indonesia's Youth and Sports Ministry published in 2021 results of a massive survey that revealed that only 2.1% of the country's students had physical fitness that fell in the quote-unquote very active category. This situation deteriorated significantly in the early years of the pandemic. However, increased interest in healthy lifestyles, higher disposable income, and specifically a rapidly growing middle class have driven greater interest in health and fitness across Indonesia. Technology has moreover removed a wide range of frictions, literally putting in the average Indonesian's hands an unprecedented range of mental well-being, physical activity, and nutrition solutions. Our guest today, Fauzan Ghani, has founded Dogether, which bills itself as Indonesia's first one-stop holistic solution for wellness. Thanks so much for joining us today, Fauzan.
Hello, Alan. Such a pleasure to be here.
Fantastic. I think the best way to kick off discussion of Dogether is to describe exactly what one can do with the app.
So in a nutshell, Dogether is the truly one-stop solution for wellness. We focus on providing online reservation to all different fitness and nutrition and mindfulness practice, both for digital experience and in-person experience as well.
Helpful description. Thanks for that. Now, our audience is significantly international. Could you now explain the app as maybe a composite or as a mix of comparable overseas apps, whether it's ClassPass, Noom, Calm, etc.?
Sure. There's two startups that can be categorized similar to Dogether. The first one you mentioned, ClassPass in the US. The second one is actually called CureFit, is based in India.
That paints a picture. Now, from my perspective, much of the startup world seems to break down the quote-unquote wellness journey into discrete or single app categories. You might have one app specialized for mental well-being, one for physical activity and fitness, and one for nutrition. Why are we cobbling or combining these three somewhat disparate categories into one app?
So the way we see it, to improve their health, everyone, they usually have their own starting point. On a historical basis, they usually have three main starting points. The first one can be from the physical activities, from their mental well-being, or from nutrition. We incorporate all these different needs of the consumers. So we put ourselves as the one holistic solution. When consumers join the platform, whichever the starting route they choose, they can join through our application. And along the way, their journeys, usually they will cross into different activity. For example, if you're coming from nutrition starting point, along the way, you'll cross to the physical activity and then cross into the mindfulness. So this is the way we see it. This is why we put ourselves as the one-stop solution for wellness in Indonesia. This is why we put ourselves as three starting points from the exercise, from the mental well-being, and also from the food or nutrition.
Got it. So let's break it down a bit more. I do see the fitness component of our value proposition very clearly. You mentioned, for instance, it resembles ClassPass. But where in our portfolio of services at Dogether do we focus specifically on mental well-being?
So previously, Q2 last year, we do have a feature called DoCoach available for B2C and B2B. But right now, the DoCoach for the mindfulness solution and also nutrition solution will focus on the B2B sectors. So it's only limited for our B2B clients. Actually, we do planning to open again for the B2C market by the end of this year.
Understood. And if you don't mind me asking, why are you currently focused on B2B? What led to the shift or the tighter focus just on B2B?
So for one of the reasons we have to coach only for the B2B is we've seen a changing behavior in terms of the consumers post-pandemic. And the best way to approach and also prepare in terms of the post-pandemic behavior, especially if we're talking about nutrition intake, if we're talking about the mental well-being, corporate would be the best angle because we spoke to many consumers. They usually talk to their HR, and the HR are looking for different opportunity to improve the well-being of their employees from instead only focusing on the insurance. We call the cure solution. They're focusing on the preventive solution. That's why we're talking to many corporates or clients to revamp the products to be the best products that their employee can use. Therefore, we can open up again on the B2C market later on this year, hopefully.
Understood. Now, Falzon, you have three fellow co-founders. What is the genesis of the Dogether idea and how did you all come together?
Alan, in Indonesia, there's government programs called Car Free Day. Basically, they empty the main road every Sunday morning from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. And when I come back from my study in Aussie to Indonesia, I was visit the program and take a look what's happening on Sunday morning. I was really shocked at the time. There was a lot of people there. And the consumers or the people who actually visit those events and programs had different social and economic background. And that's like the aha moment that we see, okay, now Indonesia start to see this as part of the culture, as part of the behavior. And I found that during my interview with my friends and families and consumers, that specific program, which really successful, also adopted in many different cities across Indonesia. Those like the first angle we see this opportunity. That's why this is the best angle and approach how we join the market. About my co-founders, actually quite funny. We have three co-founders with many different significant background. My COO, actually a friend of mine in my university. We have chief products, Danko, is actually my cousin. He worked with many different startups and companies before. He's significant older than me. And our CTO is actually a business partner of my co-founders, Helmi, the COO. So they've done many different projects together before. And when me and Helmi discuss this idea, I bring Danko as a product design to the team and Helmi bring the CTO to the team.
Gotcha. So you mentioned that you did some schooling in Australia. I want to ask you at least to compare how the average Indonesian thinks about health with an Australian or someone else. Where do you put the Indonesian philosophy about health into a broader context?
I think if we're talking about health right now, it's a significant change if we're talking about health in Indonesia before pandemic. So before pandemic, health is when you get sick. That's when health is important. But right now, the behavior change. During pandemic, it's shown that regardless how you know prepared you are, you need to maintain your health in general way. So this is what we're seeing that in terms of the adoption of health in Indonesia, as you mentioned earlier on the podcast also, the three key factors of the increase of importance of health, increase of income, growing middle class population, those three factors actually boost the importance of health. And now health is seen as part of the culture. It's part of the lifestyle. That's why the program's really successful. Even post-pandemic, we see many cities adopting this program. We even see many different locations, many different property developers allocate their time, allocate their location, their street to join this program.
Excellent. So if we're talking about a growing middle class and rising wealth, would it be true that your success at Dogether is focused very heavily on tier one urban markets in Indonesia?
Yes, of course, the tier one will be our main target market. But the funny thing is during pandemic, we also actually see huge section of our consumer base work out online in tier two cities. Again, it's also helped by the growth of their GDP per capita, the disposable income. But the main point is when we provide cheaper options or affordable pricing to those tier two cities, they'll use it. So I think the main challenge talking about tackling tier one, tier two cities will be the pricing point. The tier one cities, of course, they have more disposable income. They're talking about the quality. The tier two city is talking about the opportunity, about the access. So those two have different views in terms of what's important during the experience. We as a Dogether, we need to be able to provide two different consumers with two different needs, with two different pricing points.
Interesting. Okay. So you could say that there might be two tiers of the service. So Fawzan, you talked about rising GDP and income, growing middle class. Any other basic drivers of this increased focus on health in Indonesia? Are there cultural factors, religious factors, any other factors?
As I mentioned, wealth, GDP per capita increase is one of the main factors. But beyond that, actually, what the interesting part of Indonesian culture is the community itself. So if it's talking about health, it's boosted by the community. I mentioned a couple of times the government's Karasebe program. It boosts the culture and the community experience. Just an example, many of consumers using our services with not only the goal of improving their health, but actually looking for different activity, try new activity, actually meeting new people, getting known with new people, join different communities. So the culture of the community and getting together is like one of the key important beyond also the economic level in Indonesia.
That makes a lot of sense. I feel like there are wonderfully strong social elements to a lot of various activities I have seen in the time that I've spent in Indonesia. Now, Fawzan, I assume the generations have very different levels of appreciation of mental health in particular, but also physical health and nutrition. How do these various generations differ in Indonesia? And are we focused particularly heavily on one demographic?
I totally agree with you. Different generations, especially previous generations, have different views in terms of health, in terms of mental well-being, of course. For the leader itself, we're focusing on millennials and Gen Z. Those two big consumers actually already aware of the importance of health beyond the insurance, beyond the curative, but actually talking about the preventive, how they can prevent, get sick, improve their health, improve their mental well-being. That's why I mentioned to you earlier on the mental well-being and nutrition solution, we're focusing on the B2B. On the B2B corporate, really focusing on encouraging their employees, especially millennials and Gen Z, to improve their mental well-being. And those are the employees asking HR itself. From our point of view, the main consumers will be the millennials and Gen Z. The Gen Z now starting to join the workforce. They have more disposable income. Therefore, they will try to improve their mental well-being.
Makes sense. Now, you've mentioned earlier that we have two major offerings, DoFit and DoSpace. Are these offerings a bit competitive with each other? Do we have, for instance, a principal agent issue? We are a marketplace which allows you to sign up for various classes with third-party studios. And on the other hand, we have more of a white label solution for other facilities such as property developers. What's the relationship between those two offerings?
Okay, so DoFit is the marketplace for our merchants, for our partners to be listed. Usually they already have their own brands, they already have their own operations. While DoSpace is taking the opportunity to operate many different locations, usually owned by a property developers, individual property owners, who does not have the expertise on the operation basis to market their services and their products. So the DoSpace actually similar, like if you say like OYO for sport and wellness. So we coming into existing locations, we provide our standardized operations with standard branding and marketing, and we help them to grow. So it does in a way cross with DoFit, but the main angles actually, we always talk to our partners that they can use our spaces. For example, we have one location in BSD area in Tangerang. Many of our partners would like to try the market in the Tangerang area. One of the perks to join together is you can try the market in Tangerang area through our locations without no additional costs. So simply, if you want to try to open your new branch, you can simply use our location in Tangerang, you can use our locations in Bekasi, you can use our location in Senopati. So those kind of the angle we bring our partners to try to different market using our spaces.
Got you. So describing DoSpace as an OYO for sports and wellness, that really paints a picture. OYO for those who are not familiar with the company, is basically a full stack technology solution that is sold to small hotel operators, just for people's reference. Now, let's talk about business models. Fauzan, what is the average commission level in the wellness marketplace space? And where can we expect it to go if we look at the precedents of other markets?
There are two types of take rate, the offline experience take rate and the digital experience take rate. If we're talking about digital, it's usually less than 10%. If we're talking about the offline experience, usually 10 to 20%. In the future, I think 20% is the ceiling because we understand the market, how our merchants operate. They have certain margins, they have certain operation costs that they need to provide. As a platform, we can no longer charge more than 20%, but we can give more benefits or perks, improve our partner business. I think those will be the main angles. That's why we launched DoSpace, is ways of us as a platform to help our merchants, our partners to grow their business, not only from the commission base.
Got you. So ancillary value-added services, which you guys can roll out to these partners. Now, Fauzan, exactly what type of relationship do we establish between, for instance, myself, the paying customer, and the studio once I have chosen a class? How do we establish that relationship?
So we divide certain category of consumer experience based on our merchants, our partners. We have tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3. They usually have different experience. So the key part is when consumers use our platforms and join classes available in our platforms, regardless is operated by us or by our merchants or partners, regardless the experience on the consumers is offline or in class. So what usually we give to our merchant is we provide a certain minimum experience from tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3. And if they take all the checklist lists on the tier 1, we'll promote and we'll list it on the tier 1. If they're tier 2, tier 2, and tier 3, tier 3. The reason is, therefore, the consumers will expect certain experience. Giving you an example, if you go into 5-star hotels and 2-star hotels, even before you go to the hotels, what kind of experience will you having on those hotels? 5-star hotels, you have minimum certain experience. 3-star hotels, you have minimum certain experience. Those kind of experience that we give for consumers, and which is we give also to our merchants.
Understood. Now, we talk about using a data-driven approach to determine optimal locations for new facilities. What are the most common data points that go into identifying a new space? Is it density of fast food restaurants? Is it proximity to some other type of establishment? Is it a certain density of your target demographic? And also, could you share with us a good example of the successful launch of a service as a result of this data-driven approach?
Yeah, sure. We are using Scott Spatial analysis. In together, we have four main metrics from minimum point of interest, the type of category of point of interest, the density of the populations, and also the socioeconomics. So those four factors will be the main factors, whether the location have potential to improve them operational revenue-wise. And one of the key indicators is not the fast foods. Actually, it should be close to either education center or housing complex. So those two are the main anchor that we can use. If it's close to education center, regardless it was high school, middle school, university, it does give more edge to the locations. And if the location's close by to, let's say, housing complex, is also giving them different edge. Different category have different affecting of pricing itself. So many different factors going to our tables before we decide to open location. I think one of the examples that we've launched in Senopati area, which is around student complex as well, housing complex as well, is really successful. So we actually first implement this model in the Senopati area, which shows significant result. Beforehand, we try many different angles with many different variables, But I think during our learning curve, this model, as I mentioned to you, will be the anchor. But again, it's a lot of variable coming in, even if a location already ticks the four main metrics. Usually it takes 1.5 months to decide this location to be able to be operate successfully. Because other main factors is how close the location to other merchant that we already in our platforms. We have certain radius that we know won't touch. If it's too close, it will be taking same consumers from A location to B location.
Understood. Now, Fawzan, I wanted to go back to a point that you made earlier in our discussion when you were addressing DoGather's potential take rate opportunity. What other ancillary services or product offerings can we offer in the future?
Without going into details, if we're talking about the new space, the OYO models, there's a lot of things we can offer once you're operating an offline location. For example, talking about the F&B, I mentioned to you regarding the nutrition guidance, how you aiming to come back to the P2C market this year. So those kind of angles that we can integrate the digital part of our platform application into the offline experience. Because by the end of the day, if we're talking about improving your health, it does need the offline experience. And if we're talking about other services, we'll be focusing on enhancing consumer experience when you're coming in to one of our locations at which we operate.
Gotcha. That's clear. So, Fawzan, what are DoGather's business targets for, let's say, the end of 2024, whether it's in terms of revenues, paying customers, connected fitness centers, and so on?
The main target by the end of 2024 is the number of locations we operate in different cities. During COVID-19, during the pandemic, when everything was closed down, everything was held virtually online, we were stepping to close to 200 cities across Indonesia. So we aim until 2024 to branch out our offline presence beyond Greater Jakarta. We have many different lists of potential cities based on our data. So those will be the main angle until the end of 2024 and expand our offline presence in different cities across Indonesia.
Gotcha. Now, Fawzan, do you have any enterprises that offer their employees DoGather services, either as a benefit or just through their HR departments?
Yes, as I mentioned to you before, we're starting offering the employees benefit through our B2B services since Q2 last year. Usually HR or the employer have different budgets. Again, the product is really customized. We usually have two main offerings for the employers. The first one is the wallet system. Simply, the HR provide minimum or certain budget per month, which the employee can use. Every employee might have a different budget, which is will be allocated the first of every month. And second offering is mostly a program. So it's dedicated program, let's say for 20 or 30 employees, which have a starting point and an ending point. Usually in starting point, we do the body checking index, testing, weight, and every employee to join the program will be assessed and will be assigned different goals based on their preference. And by the end of the program, it'll show whether the program's giving the result they expected. And during those programs, usually we give out the result, the progress, and how it helped the productivity of their employees when they are physically and mentally fit.
Understood. So kind of an interesting menu of different options there. So Fawzan, how do we handle customer complaints?
In DoGather, we have multiple different channels handling consumer complaint. Social media, I think one of the easiest consumer interactions. We have WhatsApp as well. We have, of course, emails. I think those three main angles will be the main channel of consumer complaints. Some consumers also reach out to me to give a feedback, which is really lovely. I think those will be the three main angles from us, social media, WhatsApp, and also the emails.
Gotcha. Now, Fawzan, what would you regard as the single greatest source of frustration in building the Dogether business?
What is the single greatest source of frustration? Wow, that's a tough question. Single out one as the greatest source of frustration. I think building Dogether, the single greatest source of frustration was during COVID-19, specifically in the early COVID-19. At the time, we had our yearly plan in place. We already started to execute the plans on Q1 2020. And then everything is fall apart, as we all know. And we need to shift all the focus, change everything. And I think that's the moment that really frustrated everyone, because the plan was basically worth nothing. And we don't have the exact plan how to navigate situations. And it's also giving a lot of frustration to explain to a team how we handle the situation, because at that time, no one knew how to handle the situation. So I think that moment was one of the great sort of frustration during the time we built Dogether.
I can imagine. Now, I absolutely cannot finish an interview with a leading entrepreneur in the health and wellness space without asking you personally, Fauzan, what is your daily exercise routine?
Every week, usually I work out 4 to 5 times, usually giving a rest day within the third or second day. I do a lot of different workout and exercise. I mix them. I do a lot of boxing for my cardio and soccer for my cardio. I do a lot of bodyweight workout as well. So usually my days start with 50 to 70 push-up a day minimum, usually 5 times a week, mixing different workout activity from cardio to body workout.
Excellent. So you're definitely walking the talk, as we say in English. Really enjoyed the conversation, Fauzan. Great to see Dogether growing as a function of Indonesia's rising focus on health and well-being. I will be sure to start using it for various classes when I'm next in Indonesia. Frankly, largely because I simply eat too much when I'm in Indo and I need desperately to burn calories. Thanks a bunch for joining again.
Yes, thank you so much, Alan. I think that for sure when you're coming to Jakarta, let me know. We'll do different type of workout. Let's work out together. I think the reason the name is called Dogether itself, because we believe if you work out alone, you can get certain miles. But if you work out together, you can go beyond and actually create a new behavior for yourself. So let's work out together with Dogether.
Let's absolutely do that. We hope our listeners have enjoyed today's episode. As always, please consider sharing any feedback that you have about the Indo Techno podcast with us. Terima kasih. Sampai jumpa lagi. Thank you.